CBS High in the World, I'm John Batchelor. The United Nations, the Taliban, conflicting headlines. Taliban slams UN report calling Afghan government exclusionary. And then UN report says Taliban showing no signs of bending to pressure from reform. And then UN official says looking to recognize Taliban government as a heartbreaking decision. Link between Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and Tariq-e-Taliban, TTP, Pakistan, remains strong, according to the UN report. And finally, Taliban to face internal war? Question mark. UN report on rift in ranks, repressive governance. To pull all this together, I welcome Bill Raggio of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, a senior fellow who's followed the evolution of the Taliban for decades. And here we have the United Nations finding the Taliban is either divided or united. The Taliban is either repressive or exclusionary. The Taliban is either right in condemning the UN or it's the same old pirate gang. Bill, a very good evening to you. The Taliban is unhappy with the UN report. Why? Good evening to you, Bill.
Good evening, John. Yeah, I think the thing that set the Taliban off most are the reports that the Taliban is divided. Its leader, Mullah Habibullah Akhundzada, is ruling from Kandahar, and that people, that the government structure that's set up in Kabul is being excluded. I actually agree with the Taliban on this one, John. I think there is a major misunderstanding of how the Taliban governs Afghanistan and how it works internally. Look, the reason we lost the war in Afghanistan, the reason we cut that bad deal with the Taliban, is because we failed to understand the nature of the Taliban for years, who their key leaders were, how they came to consensus on issues. Look, the previous Taliban, when the Taliban ran Afghanistan from 1996 to 2001, Mullah Omar ruled from Kandahar. He was a recluse. He issued decrees, and his decrees were followed. He never issued decrees where there wasn't major consensus, if not full consensus, on the issues. And the Taliban of today, the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan of today, it operates the same way. I have no doubt that if the key Taliban leaders, that would be Sirajuddin Haqqani, the head of the Haqqani network, Mullah Yaqub, who's Mullah Omar's son, and some other key Taliban leaders, if they weren't on board with, say, banning young girls from school or keeping women out of the workplace, it's highly likely that the Taliban's emir, Mullah Habibullah Akhundzada, would go forward with this, because the Taliban tend to operate on, they operate on consensus. And the reality is all of those agree. No one, you know, people want to argue that Sirajuddin Haqqani or Mullah Yaqub are moderates. This is absolutely laughable. This is what has got us this deal. So, of course, you know, I liken this to like disagreements within political parties in the U.S. or in Western. Sure, there's disagreement within the Republican Party on this issue or that issue, or within the Democrat Party. But at the end of the day, they're Democrats or they're Republicans, and they come to a consensus and they put together a policy and they go and try to execute it. That's how it's working within the Taliban. There's too great of an attempt. So the UN report, John, too, one last thing, is really interesting. It talks about all the strife within the Taliban, but then ultimately concludes that they'll remain cohesive. So they get to the right conclusion, but I think they get there for all the wrong reasons. The Taliban are far more cohesive than people understand. The Taliban, there's been such little turnover in their interim government. They just replaced their prime minister, and it's only because he was old and sick. And they replaced their education minister because he actually wasn't a big fan of letting girls not go to school. So they replaced him and put a guy in who's and that's it. That's the all turnover they've had in almost 2 years of governments. That's all of the strife that we've seen come out of the Taliban. All the rest of this is just attempting to read the tea leaves from afar.
The linkage, Bill, the Hindustan Times features that, and I want to explicate the linkage. The Taliban of Afghanistan and the Taliban of Pakistan and Al-Qaeda, is that a comfortable trio operating in this region? And has the UN concluded that, or is it observing that there are reports that it's true?
The way the UN works is this is information provided by member states, and then the UN investigators conduct their own investigation. And yeah, they're saying definitively that the ties between the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, and the movement, the Taliban in Pakistan, are significant. They called it symbiotic, and I forget the other word that was used in the report, but it's quite clear. Look, the report notes that 6,000 members of the movement in the Taliban in Pakistan are currently sheltering inside of Afghanistan. Hundreds of Al-Qaeda fighters, I'd argue that number is very low, but we can use that as a starting point for discussions. We know that the report also, and I wrote this up, John, that there's three Al-Qaeda leaders that are serving in the Taliban's government, two as provincial governors, and one of them as their deputy director of their general directorate of intelligence, their intelligence service. And these are known quantities. These are guys I've been reporting on for 10, 15 years now. Everyone knows who they are. That's how close the ties are between these organizations. It's comfortable for the Taliban, the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, and Al-Qaeda. It is not very comforting for groups for countries like Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, India, where these groups will flex their muscle at some point in time.
We know the Taliban of Pakistan means to undermine and destabilize the Sharif government. Does the Taliban of Afghanistan participate in that, or merely offer refuge for the Taliban of Pakistan as it crosses the border?
Yeah, they provide refuge, and they've supported this group throughout. So keep in mind that at the height of the Taliban insurgency in Pakistan from 2007 to 2014-15, the Afghan Taliban was providing support, manpower, weaponry, whatever it could to help the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan. And then the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan returned the favor by focusing their efforts in Afghanistan when the Taliban took over the country up to August 2021. So, yeah, this is the head of the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan swears allegiance to the leader of the Afghan Taliban, to Mullah Habibullah Akhundzada. These are uncomfortable facts for many, but the Pakistani state, the deep state, those who are in charge, they understand this and continue to support the Afghan government anyway. And this is part of that wheel of jihad that we talk about here, John, where the Pakistan strategic depth inside of Afghanistan in support of the Afghan Taliban is far more important than any civilians and soldiers who were killed inside of Pakistan by the Afghan Taliban's allies, the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan.
The United Nations Security Council report identifies the Taliban government as highly exclusionary and repressive. All right. Those are good descriptive words. Is there any action that follows from this report?
The report doesn't make recommendations. This is what I really like about this report. It just deals with the facts. It puts the information out there so member states can, you know, make policy based on it. The only action I expect to see, John, is no action. As a matter of fact, it's going to be more attempts. You have Douglas London, the former senior counterterrorism official, and Afghan ambassador to Arab states, coming out and saying it's time to recognize the Taliban. Zalmay Khalilzad, who was responsible for the Doha deal, has been pushing for recognition and continued working with the Taliban. Everyone, you know, I think a lot of countries are just waiting for the first country to blink and recognize the Taliban. You had the head of the prime minister of Qatar, and he was also their foreign minister, visit with the leader of the Afghan Taliban. The United States wants to continue, is giving billions of dollars to Afghanistan and wants to free up more money for aid so the Taliban can distribute it to the Afghan people. There hasn't been a single negative repercussion for the Taliban's repressive policies or even sheltering Ayman al-Zawahiri. No one has done a thing. The worst they've done is keep the Taliban at arm's length. But I suspect over time, the desire to recognize and support the Taliban will be too great.
Bill Rajo is a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal watching the Taliban as it becomes more and more likely to be recognized by the international community. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.